Fantasy Rap
with Austin and Ozzy.
Hey everyone, this is Fantasy Rap, and I'm your host, Ozzy.
And I'm your co-host, Austin.
You can find us on fantasyrap.com. That is fantasywrap.com. Hey everybody, welcome to our first preseason podcast. I'm Ozzy.
And I'm Austin.
And welcome back. It's been a long summer. A lot of stuff happened.
Oh yeah.
And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the draft picks that occurred between running back, wide receiver. I don't think we've got it. Yeah, we do have a tight end in there.
And, oh, yeah, tight end.
And a couple of quarterbacks. Their ADP in the drafts that they're going in right now and kind of our thought on that process. So getting right to it, the first one is Marvin Harrison, who has been going 15th overall average draft position at wide receiver 9. Personally, I think that's too early. Completely different if you were in a dynasty league, but in a redraft league, I can't see having Marvin Harrison. Well, first of all, depending upon, you know, the format that you're using, we would never have in my 32-team league or 16-team league, we would never have wide receiver 9 picked at spot 15.
Yeah.
Wide receiver 9 would probably be in the 20s to 30 range because everyone's trying to get two running backs. So, I mean, you have to take it with a grain of salt. I'm guessing most of them are not 16-team two running back leagues. Most of them are probably 10 or 12-team leagues.
PPR,
and they might have multiple, you know, like three wide receivers as opposed to two like we carry. So what are your thoughts on Harrison? I mean, I think he's going to be a great player.
Yeah, obviously. I mean,
this year.
Yeah, for this year, I mean, I'll just I got him in Dynasty at pick 3, which in our league that we're in together, you thought was insane. But
yeah, I couldn't believe he lasted.
The first two teams needed quarterbacks.
Right.
So, and then made the trade and got the Kyler stack. So I'm pretty excited for that going forward. But, I mean, for redraft, you know, a wide receiver 9, pick 15, you know, we were talking last night a little bit, you know, kind of prepping a little bit, I guess, if you would call that.
Doomsday preppers.
Yeah, waiting for our pizza at the restaurant. But, I mean, that's just, there's people out there that just are true. I mean, they're believers, you know, they're calling their shot. Like we're saying, there's at least usually one rookie that finishes top 10 at least, you know.
And it could be him.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, he's a generational talent. You know, I mean, with the obviously it's Marvin Harrison Jr.
But I want to see a year under his belt before, especially, you know, how's Kyler going to be with him? How's the running game?
Yeah.
You know, are there other things that are going to detract from him being this? You know, and coming from college and going to the pros, you know, there's a learning curve. There, it's not, you know, you're not going against some.
He made college look very easy, though.
He did, but now go up against the best cornerbacks in football. We're not talking about, you know, two or three deep cornerbacks on a college team.
Yeah.
Because, well, first of all, you've got
Northwestern in week 9.
Right, and you've got 1,000 cornerbacks that play in college, and now you're down to 64 starters. And to think that you're going to be as good against that type of talent, I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Wide receiver 9? What do you think?
So, I still think like it's a little early. Yeah, I agree it's early. But again, if you want him, that's the price. That's where he's going. Like I said, there's the players out there, you know, in drafts that are, they just want him. So they're going to pay up to get him because they believe in him. And like I said, if there's really anybody on this list that we're going to talk about that could, you know, break into that top 10, you know, immediately, it would be him. And I think his landing spot is great. You know, Kyler's been banged up for a while, came back, you know, played the last like quarter of the season or half of the season.
And looked pretty good,
you know, and it's another off season under his belt, training camp start, you know, we got preseason starting tomorrow night, you know, minus the Hall of Fame game. you know, so he should be fully healthy.
Right.
You know, and coming into it, you got Harrison, you got Trey McBride. I think their offense is going to be pretty good. You know, could be one of the top few if you know, like I said, if Harrison can translate into the NFL.
Right.
James Conner, I mean, he's never been able to stay fully healthy for a season, but they drafted, you know, another guy we'll talk a little bit more, Trey Benson, who was one of the top three prospects for running backs this year coming in. So I think their offense is going to be pretty high powered, and I think Harrison's going to probably be the focal point of that. Yeah, so
we'll have to see. Next up, 29 draft picks later or overall picks later comes Malik Nabers, wide receiver 24. I personally think that is a great place for him.
Yeah.
I actually might think a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Danny Dimes comes back and can, I mean, he can throw the ball.
Yep.
And like you said yesterday, he's a sneaky good runner, and it opens up the offense a little more.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on that offensive line.
Yeah.
If the offensive line is as bad as it's been the last 2, 3, 4 years, then it doesn't matter what quarterback you put in there; they're going to be dead.
Yeah, I like, you know, if you're going a zero RB, say you're full PPR and you're going zero RB and you get, you know, the number two pick or something, and you get CeeDee Lamb, you know, at number two, or Tyreek at between 3 and 4, you know, you get one of those true alpha stud receivers, and you just say, okay. And then in, you know, what round wide receiver 24 is that, like
44th overall?
Yeah. So, fourth.
I mean, depends on how, you know, what you're talking. That could be anywhere around the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you go first three rounds wide receivers and say, you know, you come back second round, grab somebody, and then, you know, you got Nabers if you want to go a little early, or if you're running, you know, if your league is crazy, doing three wide receivers and a flex spot, you know,
makes sense
would
to
be,
go get it.
I think would be an awesome, you know, flex, if not, you know, I'd even be okay, I think, in a PPR with him as my number two receiver. You know, just because he's the guy for that offense this season, because there's nobody else. I mean, the talent's there. I mean, there was even some rumblings of him being better than Marvin Harrison. You know, talent wise, you know, and coming up through, you know, at LSU. So, you know, I mean, I think PPR wise, he'll be fine. I don't think he's going to post insane yardage or touchdowns, but, you know, like I said, PPR wise, I'd be okay. Like I said, if you get one of those top stud receivers and then fill in, you know, two running backs or, you know, a running back and receiver, and then grab Nabers again, you know, later. I like that.
Yep. Next up, we've got, and this is almost 40 picks later at 83 overall, wide receiver 39, Roman Dunze.
Mm-hmm.
Dunze?
I think. Is it a Dunze? I don't know. Hey, you guys know who we're talking about, Bears rookie.
Yep. One of two Bears rookies on here.
Yep.
I like the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be a stud somewhere down the road. I don't know if with the other talent they've got there at wide receiver, how much noise he's going to make.
Yeah, that's why you see him, you know, almost, you know, you go from pick 44 in Malik Nabers to pick 83 for Rome. I mean, it, you know, again, if this was Dynasty,
great
pick. You know, I mean, if you got him in Dynasty, I think in 2 to 3 seasons, you're going to be extremely happy.
Right.
You know, because really Keenan Allen that they brought in could be a one-year kind of rental-ish. You know, they just paid DJ Moore a boatload of money, so they're saying to DJ Moore, you're our guy going forward.
And that's my hesitation on him is, you know, with Keenan and DJ, how many targets, and you've got Cole Kmet.
Yeah, you got Swift out of the backfield. Yeah,
I just don't know how many receptions he's going to, how many opportunities he's going
to
have.
I think
down
this,
the road, like,
yes,
like you said,
I think this season, 2 years, you know, I mean, with how good he was at Washington, you know, I mean, because he's always had been talked about as the number three receiver in this draft,
right?
And, they picked him at what, pick nine?
Nine.
Yeah, so I mean, they kind of called the shot, wanted him. So I think, this year, I mean, if you want to take, you know, pick 83, I mean, later in the draft, you got everything filled, and maybe he's your second bench, you know, player or whatever, you know, or your fourth
wide receiver. If he's truly wide receiver 39,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
and you're
playing
three, or you're playing two in a flex, or you're playing whatever. Yeah. I mean, he's still in the top. You know, he's going to be a starter on your team.
Yeah, I mean, and it comes down to Caleb Williams. If, you know,
right,
we'll see how the Bears. I mean, we don't know anything yet. You know, we haven't seen any of these guys play together. You know, Caleb didn't play in the Hall of Fame game, but you know, I'm sure Rome didn't either. But you know, we just don't know what we're going to get with this new Bears offense, and you know, the new, you know, they bring in a new, you know, OC and everything, right? Eberflus is still there, but I can't remember if they brought in an OC.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, that would make sense. But yeah, so I mean, we just don't know. But Rome, I mean, yeah, I think he'd be fine as a, I don't know. I think I'm this year out, just because of, I mean, Keenan Allen, even though he's older, was amazing last season.
Right. When he's healthy and plays, he's a ball magnet.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you think about it. I mean, you got DJ Moore on the outside. Then you got Keenan, who can play outside, plays slot. Really well from the slot.
Very
and
well.
That's kind of the Rome Odunze, kind of that's what he was in college, you know, too. So,
agreed.
You know, if he's going to be able to beat out Keenan Allen for, you know, a higher, you know, target share, I don't think so.
Right. But, I don't think so either. And that's kind of where I was headed. I was surprised when they signed Keenan Allen. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a bad move.
No,
I think it gives,
they had so much money to play with.
Well, and I think it gives Rome a year to really learn.
Yeah.
Which is why this, you know, having him ranked fairly highly kind of surprises me a little.
Yeah.
So let's move on to four picks later. Jonathan Brooks at 87, running back 28. Supposedly going to miss probably 3 to 4 weeks of the season with the knee. I like the situation he's in.
Yep.
To a point. I think Chuba is still a decent running back, and if Chuba has been doing well, they might hold off on bringing Brooks along
back
too quickly.
Yeah, and on one of my dynasty teams, I still have Miles Sanders on my bench, and they just, like, one of the most recent news things was that he's, you know, doubling down and trying to, you know, kind of a comeback from the horrible season he had last year. And, you know, he's determined and he's got all this motivation now. But, Chuba was eating his lunch last year when it came to production.
Right.
And, you know, just not even fantasy value, but in real NFL value.
Right.
So, I mean, Brooks was I think he was the top rated running back prospect, even with the knee.
But that's more from a dynasty perspective.
Yeah.
I think,
and
football is a dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Our fantasy leagues may or may not be dynasty, but football is a dynasty. They're looking at a year, 2 years, 5 years from now where, you know, do I think he's going to be the 28th best running back this year? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
However, he would be a nice guy to have on your bench, who is your third back that you can maybe use during the playoffs or whatever.
If it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks, you know, you draft him day after the draft, throw him in your IR, grab somebody off of.
Granted, you have an IR.
Well, if you have an IR, but you know, and then in 3 or 4 weeks. You know, say it takes them a couple more weeks to really get going, and then second half of the season.
And that's probably getting close to the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So you could offload that other starting running back that you've got and possibly ride Brooks and pick up another piece, with him and a, with that wide receiver and running back that you might move off for a stud wide receiver.
Yeah.
So moving on, we've got at 88, one pick later, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver 41.
Yeah. I mean, good landing spot, Kansas City. Rashee Rice, we're still waiting.
felonies. I mean,
yeah. So,
I'm not saying that he's going to miss time, but there's a strong likelihood that he'll miss some time. So, Xavier Worthy might be a stud this year.
And Kansas City, was that the last pick of the first, or did they trade up at the end to get him? I can't remember.
I want to say they moved up to pick him, but maybe not.
They're. Saw their guy because obviously they, were pick 32, because they won the Super Bowl. But, they saw their guy and were like, all right, let's get him.
Boo to winning the Super Bowl again. Yeah.
Out of Texas, right? He was with Adonai Mitchell in Texas, right?
I think so.
So, super fast, decent size. I mean, catching balls from Patrick Mahomes, you can't ask for much better on a team projects again their defense to be top tier, so it's not like they're gonna have to, which could hurt a little bit for his fantasy stock. They might not have to get into too many shootouts, but Rice, if he misses time, they're gonna need somebody else to step in. They got Hollywood that they brought over,
and they still have Kelsey, they still have
Pacheco,
they've got a good offense.
Yes,
moving on, three picks later, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver number 43. I think that's a good place for him, mainly because of the losses.
He's already rising from that.
Right. Yes. Mainly because of the losses to that offense. Yeah. I mean, you lose Keenan and you lose
Eckler.
No, Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, yes, but Eckler
Eckler as well. But I mean, just replace the wide Eckler receivers with
Gus Edwards. So
yeah,
but yeah. So I think McConkey is gonna rise a lot. Like I just did my other dynasty league, we just got done with that draft. He went at the 110, and I think before he was going like middle of the second for a rookie draft,
He could actually outperform Adunes.
Yeah. I mean, PPR wise, I think he's going to be, again, might not post crazy yardage, but if he gets, 130 targets or something like that, and turns that into a, 800-900 yards and a handful of touchdowns, it's going to be pretty good for a rookie, especially if you can get him a little later. So,
right. Moving on, another wide receiver seems to be the wide receiver crew, mainly because they usually do well first year. We've got Keon Coleman at number 99, wide receiver 46. Not a bad place for him either.
No, I mean, a great landing spot. You got Diggs shipped out. You got Gabe Davis shipped out, You still got Dalton Kincaid, who I think everybody's assuming he's going to be the leading receiver for that team. And you still got James Cook, who's a very good receiving option out of the backfield.
Yep.
Keon Coleman, he's kind of, I mean, he's, from what I've been seeing a lot of people, he's kind of everybody's ceiling pick. Like he's got a super high ceiling, but you don't know what the floor could be. Really bad potentially, but his ceiling could be gigantic, Allen offense.
And I look at the same thing with McConkey.
Yeah.
I mean, both of those could be massive ceilings.
Yeah.
The other ones, I don't think they're ceiling. Well, maybe Xavier Worthy. I don't think Harrison, Neighbors, or Adunes are necessarily. And don't get me wrong. I mean, it's going to take a great year from those other guys. Mm-hmm. To get past them, but what we're saying is they have a possible landing spot that leaves them so wide open to take over as wide receiver one.
Mm-hmm.
And other than Neighbors, the other, Harrison.
Well, Harrison's ceiling is already kind of baked into what he is. People are, like you said, the wide receiver 9, pick 15. People are drafting him at his potential close to ceiling, because that 15, people are assuming that the ceiling's even higher, which could be a top 5 guy, so it's kind of already baked in,
Worthy, McConkey, and Coleman can all be top 15 to 20 receivers. Mm-hmm. So yes, they're not going. They're not going to surpass more than likely Harrison. But for where they're being drafted,
you're not paying for it,
right? It's a huge potential for those three. Next up, we've got our only tight end on the list, Brock Bowers, at pick 100, tight end 11.
Yeah, I mean, tight ends are, you know, we were just talking again last night, there's like five tight ends this year. You know, Kelce isn't so much the far and away number one where you
I don't
know,
even take him at, number one.
Number one tight end.
I don't even take him as the number one tight end.
Yeah. You know, I mean, even like last year or the year, definitely year before, you know, if you had pick five, you were staring at Travis Kelce.
Right.
In the first round, and you're like, you know.
But, I took him at pick 9 1 year.
Yeah.
That was the year he didn't have a good year.
So, by Travis Kelce standards.
By my standards, yeah. So,
you know,
I mean, you expect, I think he came in second or third overall as, and you want him like he did this past year.
You want him to lap
I don't think
field.
He did this last year.
Because, LaPorta. Ago.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, when you get a 60-point difference spread between the number one and the number two, that necessitates a high draft pick.
Well, yeah, and he's
because you can fill in those other spots.
You know, that's a premium position on your team. You got one tight end if you want. If you were able to somehow land the old, it comes to mind is the Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, you know, duo, you know, that was unheard of ever stacking tight ends, but they were both so insane. But, you know, I mean,
one
you
criminally.
Get Kelce and you win. Well, yeah. Not anymore, RIP. Yeah. but yeah, you know, you want Kelce to, you know, if you do that to be so far ahead. But, you know, Bowers going to the Raiders, you know, I think they in the draft were just like, well, he's best available. He's still here somehow.
It has to be that reason because have Mike
Mayer.
Mayer.
Yeah, who they drafted last year, who was the top tight end price. But yeah. Yeah.
I didn't understand the draft pick.
They were like, holy, he's still here.
And maybe they play a lot of two tight end sets where you've got Devontae and you've got the other two tight ends who both can operate quite well catching the ball. So maybe that's their mindset.
I mean, he was far and away the number one tight end prospect coming out of college. Obviously, we all, you know, if you watch college football, you know what he was at. He was a monster at Georgia,
right?
You know, so I mean, he's, you know, and as a prospect, one of the, you know, top prospects, you know, kind of in the same category, people were putting him with like Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
So, you know, you expect things, but the landing spot isn't the best because you're not sure what you're going to get.
Right.
Sounds like, you know, it's down between Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell between who's gonna start, you know, so it could be a real mess in that, you know.
Yeah, I'm not, but, you know, I think that my preference is Minshew. I think he's a better quarterback. I think that they would still be okay with Minshew. I'm not sure about O'Connell.
You look at the other side of the ball, the Raiders defense towards the end of last year was actually very good.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, maybe their defense can play well enough to help boost the offense a little bit, you know, and take some pressure off of the offense, which might, you know, everybody's a little more loose. But I think, you know, Bowers, you know, pick 100 if you already have a, you know, whoever. Might as well, if you know, if all your other needs are met in your draft and he's there, why not?
Yep.
So,
moving on, one pick later, 101, Brian Thomas, wide receiver, 47. I like it. I think it's a good place for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, rookie again, one of those guys that for super cheap could have a very nice ceiling or even a very nice floor. Yeah. You know, he might be between. You know, he might be a 12-point guy every week, but he's going to be hopefully consistent, you know, enough too. You know, I mean, they still have Christian Kirk. They brought in Gabe Davis, right? Didn't he go to Jacksonville?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I want to say he did. Evan Ingram, of course, you know, I mean, ETN.
And you've got a decent quarterback thrown to you.
Yeah. projects to be a good offense.
Yeah. What's not to like in that environment? The thing I'm seeing is, and you know, in my 30 plus year league of 16 teams, you don't see a lot of rookies drafted. Mm-hmm. I think this will be the year that it happens more so.
Yeah, and I think it'll be a lot of these later round guys where it is, all right, I've got my, you know, say you're two wide receiver and a flex, you've got four, you know, you got your two starters and maybe a flex player, and then
Receiver. You're going to need a fourth and a fifth, probably. Well,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. And to fill out those fourth and fifth spots, I think that's where you're going to see a lot of guys taking these shots on some of these guys, like a Keon Coleman, you know, Brian Thomas as well. I think the later rounds will actually be filled with quite a few rookies, you know, more so than previous years. Yep.
So pick 106, our first QB, QB 12, and no, it is not Caleb Williams. It's Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm. It's the rushing upside. That's why he's the QB 12. I mean, the reason why he's going as the QB 12, people are trying to hopefully capture what they had for those couple games with Anthony Richardson. you know, where he's just scoring so many touchdowns on the ground. It's the Josh Allen equation, you know, or effect, if you want.
Or Lamar,
where it's, oh, he threw for 250 yards and one touchdown, but he rushed 12 times for 110 yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, okay. You know.
And when you're getting quarterbacks, because in a lot of leagues, and I know some of them give 6 points for passing TDs, the majority that I've ever been in and pay attention to are 4 points for passing.
Yep.
So if you're getting 4 points for a passing TD and you're getting 6 points for a rushing TD from the quarterback position, you don't mind a guy a la Tush Push scoring the touchdowns.
Yeah.
Because, I sat there with Hurts and I'd go, run it. No. Don't throw the ball.
Yeah. So, in Washington, you know, they bring in Eckler. They still got McLaurin and Dotson, and they also got Ben Sinnott. I think that's how you pronounce his Sinnott, the tight end, rookie tight end this year.
I think it's Sinnott.
They have Zach Ertz, who's ancient but might be okay for a game or two before he gets inevitably hurt again. But you know, that's another team, Washington, that could be, you know, on the rise a little bit.
Right.
So, I think
you can't fall too far from near the bottom.
That's true. But I think, you know, Jaden Daniels will be a guy that if he's not, you know, like I said, if he isn't like Richardson where he's scoring, you know, say he gets, you know, every week gets a rushing touchdown or runs for a decent amount of yardage and is also throwing well, he'll be out on your waiver wire, and I think it'd be a very good streaming option for a handful of weeks this year.
Yeah. So. The other thing that I see is, you know, we talk about redraft, and this is mainly redraft numbers. Mm-hmm. Had this been a dynasty,
you would have
all of these guys would have been in the top. You know, he's a top seven or eight quarterback just on his potential. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys, they'd be in completely different places. So don't use this as anything dynasty related because it's not a good indication of what's expected from them out of their entire career.
Yes.
This is a 2024 numbers ADP thing. Next up at 108, Trey Benson, running back 36.
I like Trey Benson this year. If I can get him at this spot.
Why do you like him here?
Because, well, we were just saying before, James Conner has never had a full healthy season. Granted, James Conner, when he's healthy, is good. But Trey Benson was, like, I think he was the number two prospect this year, you know, coming out. there were some other scouts that liked our guy, Marshawn Lloyd, better out of USC. But, you know,
but Trey Benson. He went to a bad situation. Well, a potentially bad situation where
if Jacobs pans out, then yes. If Jacobs is bad, I think next year Marshawn will be our starter. But that's my opinion on that. But talking Trey Benson.
I'm seeing 2 years, but
yeah.
Trey Benson.
I think he's in a good spot where when James Conner does miss, because he most likely
will
immediately comes in as a workhorse back, and you can get him at 106.
But you're not okay. I'm still thinking back to a two running back 16 team league where 32 starting running backs are gone.
Well, he probably would go in the sixth round in your league. In that league, I think.
Oh, probably. I think he would be and that's well he's gone. More he's more the handcuff.
Well, yeah.
Than the although I mean I could see it like you say. I mean I've drafted running backs speculating that you know based on past performance the guy is going to get injured the regular starter and then they get injured and I've got the guy who takes over. And so in that case, you either need to draft him early enough as the handcuff or you are going to have someone taking him with the anticipation of Connor getting injured.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's...
I'm on that side where I think when Connor misses time, which, I mean, if it's week two, Benson slides in, I think, right away.
It's funny because...
the other guys on that roster, like Michael Carter... I mean, horrible. I don't even know who else they have on there, but I mean, Benson, well, I think drafted immediately was their RB2.
Yeah. So. And I look at, you know, we talked about a guy that's perennially injured, Mostert.
Yeah. Well, that was then, like how many, I mean, you look at, you know, after, you know, the reason why
I know you
hate
him.
CMC.
Oh yeah,
and I'll bring up because to me this is the comparison is Elijah Mitchell. How many guys would draft Elijah Mitchell if they got CMC at number one, like I did, you know? But you know there was the assumption that he was going to get hurt once he went to San Fran because of the previous 2 years in Carolina,
right?
You know that Elijah Mitchell was the handcuff guy to have. So Mitchell's ADP would rise because everybody was like, well, CMC's going to get hurt again. And if he does, Elijah Mitchell becomes the number one for one of the best offenses in football.
Possibly. Who's the other guy? Jordan?
I don't even remember.
I can't remember his name, but they played him a lot instead of Elijah.
Well, that's
Mitchell.
Also because Mitchell can't stay on the field either. He is always hurt. But, you know, and like I said, you know, if Arizona, if they come out and they're this great offense and somehow they're, you know, they're in the hunt, you know, if they want to try and keep Connor healthy, I think it's going to see a little, maybe not fully even, but like a 60-40 Connor to Benson being out there. So I think he'll be, you know, I mean, I think it'd be a very nice bench piece, you know, if not eventual starter.
Absolutely. I mean, he could definitely, and I, you know, we talk about it. On any given weekend, anybody can get hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Jets spent how much draft capital and money on Aaron Rodgers to get four snaps out of him?
Yep.
So, I mean, the reality is...
if you count the Achilles. Five snaps if you count the Achilles.
Oh, was that on the fifth?
No, I'm saying that was the fifth
I got it. So, moving on, you've got at 112, the darling of the draft in more ways than one, QB15, Caleb Williams. Sorry.
Was that a suck it, Phil? Or?
No. That was just, no. I truly hope that he can do well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, according to my buddy Phil, the Bears don't ruin him because he feels that they've ruined quarterbacks. And I'm not, I can't tell whether or not they've ruined quarterbacks, but they've rarely had a good one. So it's, you know, it's possible that now I probably would have, like I've said, I would have kept Fields and I would have gone Marvin Harrison. Yeah. And, you know, but here's the thing. I would almost draft Caleb Williams ahead of QB 15 on the immense potential that this guy has just based on the three wide receivers he's got.
Well, no other reason. Well, that, you know, Cole Kmet can be, you know, a very good player. Swift, if we'll see, I mean, because he looked, you know, until the whole Eagles team started to break down, you know, in the second half of the season, Swift looked like the best running back in the, you know, right up there with CMC. He was, you know, but granted, he had, you know, the holes he was running through were, you know, 5 feet wide, you know, so,
right.
You know, they were getting movement, but you know, this offense, and then they've invested in the O line and
which they could afford to do because they had money.
So much money,
right?
That this, I mean, you know, I would always kind of roll my eyes when you hear it, but you look at it and this is one of the best landing spots for a rookie quarterback,
absolutely,
let alone the top rookie quarterback that every, you know, there were many teams, I think, waiting on this guy for at least the last two seasons,
right,
of his college career.
Right.
So, you know, to do what the Bears did, I think they've done a great job so far. We'll just see if it translates.
Agreed. You know? Agreed. And I mean, you're exactly right. The to walk into two excellent wide receivers, mm-hmm, and an excellent rookie wide receiver, yeah, to go with the other tools that you've got there. If he doesn't succeed, one of two things: he wasn't that good, or the Bears messed him up already. Mm-hmm. And I can't see that happening. So, yeah, like I said, I'm kind of surprised that he's still there at QB 15.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it just,
I mean, in a 16-team league,
well, yeah,
that means he's one of the top starters on a team.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about a 10-team league, well, where, yeah, he's a backup.
Yeah.
I'm talking in my 16-team league, mm-hmm, if I can get him at QB 15, I would definitely, yeah, take a flyer.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Even with some of his growing pains.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, and
you just can't have 100 interceptions.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of tough, though, when you look into the middle of the field and Keenan Allen's just standing there wide open.
Right.
Seems to happen all the time.
Right.
But, yes, I hear what you're saying. But, yeah, I mean, even then, you know, yeah, I mean, it's tough in a draft because you never know how your team's going to really pan out, you know, with everybody else picking and, you know, all these guys that you're like, ooh, I'd like to have this guy, and then,
yeah,
pick before you, he's gone, so you got to pivot. But, you know.
Boy, that never happens to me.
Yeah. still salty about that JSN. Well, I guess not, because he ended up getting Stroud. So
I was salty at the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is one of those things, yep, that I've got my eye on a guy,
mm-hmm,
and not in real life. I've got my eye on a guy, and I'm sitting there going, okay, he's gonna fall to, yep, I'll take blah, blah, blah. And, yep, you're like, oh,
yep,
now what am I going to do?
Yeah,
so I mean, a lot of times, but I'll have a couple of picks ready,
mm-hmm,
you know, where you, yeah, know where to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are ones that,
you're heartbroken. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah, you're heartbroken.
Yeah. You're like, this is this guy's third quarterback. What is he doing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that happens too. So,
but yes, again, I'd taken him a little early just on the potential of what could be. You know, if you take Caleb at this spot and you just punt. And I mean, like, even now, like, Stafford and Goff are still going around here, if not later sometimes, mm-hmm, as well. Like, mm-hmm, you know, people are on, obviously the premium is, you know, Mahomes and Lamar, well, and Josh Allen and Hurts and everybody.
For the last two years, yeah, or so, I've been taking Brock Purdy in the 14th round.
Exactly. I mean, and yeah.
Now, Brock Purdy will not be making it to the 14th round this year.
But, you know, like this year, like I said, I threw out Goff. You look at their opening schedule, and they're all indoors, which Goff is unbelievable when he's indoors. You know, their opening schedule is crazy good. Goff could be the QB1 potentially at week 5.
Yep.
And then say, here comes Caleb Williams, and say something happens to Goff and you got Williams on your bench, you know, or Goff continues to tear it up and you got a really nice trade piece here.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, so,
yep,
you know, the potential there, I think he's going to start creeping up a little bit in the ADP, but I think people are still a little wary because it is Chicago.
Well, and I mean, there are a lot of good quarterbacks out there. Mm-hmm. There really are. I mean, you think about it, to be a top 15 quarterback as a rookie, I mean, that will be very impressive if he pulls that off. I'm not saying he's doing it solely on his skill set,
mm-hmm,
like a lot of quarterbacks do. I mean, yeah, you look at a guy like Jordan Love is in that situation, I can only imagine what kind of numbers he might put up.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas he doesn't have a true number one, number two, number three like that.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of guys that are just, you know,
interchangeable.
They're good. Yeah. And there are a lot of teams that are like that, and which is why I say Caleb Williams could just be. I mean, you talk about ceiling for players. His ceiling is massive.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I like the potential. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I like the potential. I don't. It may turn into nothing.
Yeah.
He may get hurt. He may be horrible. No one knows.
Yeah.
So, moving on to our last but not least of our list is Blake Corum at 117, running back 40.
I mean, he's the handcuff to Kyren. You know, right. Kyren goes down at all, and Corum.
And he's been injured to start with.
So yeah, I mean, and Corum is kind of like Kyren Williams anyways as a running back. So, I mean, and we, you know, at Michigan was great. I mean, I like Blake Corum. The landing spot wasn't, I think he could have went elsewhere and he would have been up with Brooks and all those guys.
Agreed. But, you know, but it's a question of, I mean, it may turn into, well, this year, I agree.
Yeah.
In the next 2 to 3 years, it could be a completely different story because Kyren Williams may or may not be still their starting running back.
Yeah, and if Kyren, you know, he's a little banged up right now, I believe, but if he comes out of preseason and he's healthy and stays healthy and does what he did last year, which was put up a very, very good season, you know, Corum, yeah, it could be next year because McVay does kind of, you know, he likes a workhorse kind of guy who's out there all the time. You didn't, you know, when Kyren was fully healthy, you didn't see a whole lot of other running backs out there.
Right.
You know, you didn't see Ronnie Rivers out there or anything like that. So, you know, ooh. But Ronnie Rivers, I think that was one of their backups.
Yeah.
But, you know, so
wasn't Henderson there too for a while?
Well, Henderson was their guy. I think it was like 2 years ago now and was actually decent when he was healthy in the starter. It was actually pretty good. I traded for him the 1 year and he helped me push into playoffs, but then he was crap in the playoffs. Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think, I mean, Corum, again, super late, or if you're the Kyren manager and he's there late,
right.
Handcuff him, take him.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know. If he's available later. In our league, 16-32, he may be 6th, 7th round again.
Yeah.
Just because we are so, I mean, obviously you have to have running backs. So yeah,
it's a premium in that league.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah. That's all we've got for this week. We'll be putting together a new episode fairly soon. Haven't decided what we're going to talk about yet, but we'll put it out there. And
so much nicer in season when the content that we talk about is already made.
It drives you.
Yes.
But we do have some ideas on, you know, we'll talk about some drafting and some topics that are obviously of importance to new and old. I mean, like I've had conversations with people. Oh, you run a fantasy podcast. You know, who should I draft first? And I or I'll say to the person, someone always asks me, who should I draft first? What's your format?
What pick are you?
But I mean, I mean, outside of the obvious, although CMC in a one running back, 10 team, wide receiver heavy league, CMC may not be the number one pick.
It's probably CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it depends.
it depends on what you're doing. So, you know, a lot of, and we did an episode last year that we talked about, you know, or maybe 2 years ago.
I might have been 2 years
and
ago.
And we talked about the format that you're in playing into what you're doing. You really have to study it for the format that you're in. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we'll talk about that show within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So that's all we've got for this week. I am Ozzie.
And I'm Austin.
Have a great week.